and welcome to an all new episode of the Lisa Ann Experience. I am your host, Lisa Ann, and I would like to extend my gratitude to you for making me a part of your listening experience. I know there's a ton of amazing podcasts out there. And if you're new to my podcast, so you know, if you like to watch the video component, it's all available for you on my YouTube channel, The Real Lisa Ann, as well as new adventure content that I put together with Kay when Kay was in the city. And there's some great fun stuff already up there. I will be adding more. There's an unboxing to a sample sale that I just went wild at, and a lot of good stuff is taking place. But you're catching me kind of on the downswing of the late night for my birthday yesterday. I turned 51. I woke up and said, you are a year older than you were yesterday. And here we are. Had a magical dinner last night with my friends at Say Less. If you come into the city, please look up Say Less. It is such a beautiful restaurant. The food is amazing. The drinks are incredible. Love it there. So that was kind of like the in between this birthday celebration tour, which started last weekend in Vegas at the Sapphire Pool. I had a Saturday event, cabana, friends, tons of fun. Love the people at Sapphire Las Vegas. Sunday, took a little private day with my friends at the Mandalay Rooftop Pool that I love so much. Laid there, got some sun, feel a lot tanner, watched some hoops, had a great time, and did something a little bit different this Vegas trip. Something I haven't done in forever. And there's layers to it. Let's start with the fact that I was in bed by 11 o'clock every night and actually hit the gym in Vegas. Been staying on my routine in a big way, but we just wanted to walk the strip. So I had friends in town. My two Austins, two friends named Austin, Madison comes in to shoot my reels and help with my content for all my social media. And it was just beautiful out. Wasn't too hot yet, but it was nice at night. I hadn't walked the strip in years. And we walked for hours. And we were all so bummed because none of us like put on our settings on our phone for our steps, because at the end of each night, we were all just like so tired and relaxed from the walking. I had no idea that there were all these new outdoor malls in Vegas that are connected through different things. You walk up one street over and over thing, and then you're there. And there's like these outdoor like Southern California shopping areas. Did not know that. And ironically, this morning I had a call and a friend said to me, oh, did you gamble? And I'm like, I don't even think we walked through a casino once. We were outside. We were enjoying the weather. We were having a great time. And it just reminded me that you could do Vegas so many different ways. And none of them really have to be revolving around gambling, going to shows, all the things people used to go to Vegas for. That's just not really, you could do anything now. So for everybody that came to my West Coast party experience, I thank you so much. The East Coast is happening right now. Last night was my birthday dinner. Saturday night, I have an event at Bounce. Really excited about that. My last round of this. And I'm probably going to need a vacation for my birthday. It has been incredible. Got lots of flowers back here that you can see. And I am very sorry that I was a day late with the release of the podcast. That's another thing I must apologize for. But here we are. I have a guest today. I have a mailbag. I have all the goodies for you. And for us to catch up a little bit more, the climb finally got done at the edge in Hudson Yards. Kay and I had tried to do this last year, got rained out, booked it again for this year, went there in the morning. The weather app said there was going to be a 2-hour reprieve with no rain. We get there. Not only did it start raining, it starts thunder and lightning. Lightning can't go up there. Can't be up there. It's like can't be on the tarmac. So we finally got to do it, and it was awesome. So it's another thing that if you're coming to the city and you want the best view, I mean, just the most unobstructed view of everything, you gotta do the climb at the edge. It was a ton of fun. That video will soon be available on my YouTube channel as well. Art Tech House is another place that I really love. It's great to have indoor activities in a city where you don't have a car and you pretty much walk everywhere. So when friends come into town, I like to know, like, I'm a member at MoMA. Now I'm going to be a member at Art Tech House because they just started selling a membership. And I like going regularly. Kay, I'm sorry to tell you, they just released next month is going to be a NASA exhibit, which you would definitely want to go to, Kay. But it's art installations in this beautiful room. And if you go during the week, it's pretty empty. You can kind of just sit on the floor and hang out and watch. It's about an hour rotation of the music and the light show, and pretty cool. You're going to like that too. So there's lots of surprises coming to you. And it is now official that I will be hosting a best ball draft every single day for the entire month of June on Fantrax. Best ball is your dream fantasy football situation because you get to do the most fun part, which is draft. You get to be in the draft room, in the chat of the draft room, hanging out on Fantrax with me. So everyone's going to have an opportunity because I'm going to make them all different times. And by next week, the entire schedule for June will be set. And you'll be going into the rooms to pick the days that you want to draft, the day you want to be there. I'm catering to all different time zones and making sure everybody can play a role. And with you do the draft, that's it. Every week, your best scores get totaled. And at the end of the season, you just might win a little bit of money. I'm going to do $5 buy-ins. So it's a simple, easy $5. You win or you lose it, right? And I'm going to do them all month. It's a great way to mock draft. It's going to be awesome for me to break down on my show on Better Sports Network. And I'm also going to be streaming a lot of these live. So at the beginning of the month, if you know nothing about best ball and you're following me on social media at The Real Lisa Ann, you'll know when I'm going to be doing a draft. You'll be able to follow along as I kind of give like the draft, the NFL draft. I'll be like, oh, this guy went. And we'll go through all of that and you'll get to understand what the draft room looks like by me doing these lives. So if you want to get in the game and you want to be a part of the month of June, which I am going to call the Summer of Best Ball with Lisa Ann and Fantrax, because the summer of love, I love fantasy football. It came to me while I was taking a walk, trying to figure out a name for the flyers for everything I'm doing. So it'll be the summer of best ball. We're going to have a great time. And for those of you who do play fantasy football, this is only going to make you better. This is only going to up your chances of winning your league, which you may or may not have won last year. If you move your league over to Fantrax, you're going to get some other goodies as well. So check out Fantrax. You can go to fantrax.com/Lisa Ann. Sign up today so that when I release that schedule, because I know these best ball drafts are going to fill quickly, and you're not going to be one of those people that gets left in the dust because you didn't log in already. So check out Fantrax, and I will be having the best time June, and I will be a savant by July, because the depth that you get to draft, the layers of players, because remember, you're not waiver wiring. You're not changing your lineup. You have an injured player. That's it. You're not going to replace that injured player. You're going to get somebody else that's on your bench. Best scores totaled every week, which is awesome. Yankees game, which you may or may not have seen on my Instagram. There's going to be a little clip or two for you to see as well. There's going to be an addition to my YouTube channel for that. Ticket Rev. The best seats. We were right behind home plate. And it was my first baseball game this season, which means it was my first baseball game since the pitch clock. And I will say this. I know a lot of old school traditional baseball fans don't like the fact that there's a pitch clock, making the games about 30 minutes shorter, which I thought was fantastic. But it adds an element of excitement as a fan. Because it's kind of like watching the shot clock in the NBA. You see these players, you see it's going on. You're like, you got to shoot the ball. You feel the same way with the pitch clock. You're like, you're watching it. You know, there's someone trying to steal a base. You know, pitcher cannot really do anything about it because there's only 3 seconds left on the pitch clock. I thought it added such an exciting element. So if you haven't yet gone to an MLB game this season and you now are thinking about going, check out TicketRev.com. You can also download the TicketRev app. TicketRev is your place to buy and sell tickets, so see what TicketRev has available near you. All social media is at TicketRev, and we will be doing another ticket giveaway pretty soon. So stay tuned for that. The best way to know is to be following at TicketRev. Well, my guest, I know I have a lot more to say, but I got to tell you, a lot of good food last night and a couple cocktails, maybe a couple more than a couple cocktails. And here I am, but I'm making this happen. So it's not my best. And I will just throw that out there right now. These things do happen, right? We're not always our best, but sometimes our guests can bring the best out in us. I've had this guest on Dudes Do Better last year or year before, and now I get to bring my guest back to you here on the Lisa Ann Experience. Today, I bring you Elena St. James, who you can follow on social media at Elena St. James. Here we are for another conversation on the Lisa Ann Experience, and I bring you a guest that you've got to meet once before, but a lot has transpired since the last time I got to have a conversation with Elena St. James, who I recently, a couple months back, Elena, I saw you had a lovely article about you in Business Insider. First of all, how have you been? And second of all, how did that come about?
Well, Business Insider, interesting, because when they really came at me from a business standpoint, and hello, everybody, by the way, they really came at me from a business standpoint because I am, we don't know how successful everyone is on OnlyFans, but after their research, they're like, we think you very well might be the most successful over 55. There might be other people,
okay.
They might lie about their age. But so they said, we want to talk to you about that, about how your experience is different than, say, somebody that's under 55 or under 40 or so have. So they went.
Or somebody that maybe hasn't had another stream of income. You know, you think about when performers get into the industry really young or when somebody starts an OnlyFans page as soon as they turn 18, they don't really have the checks and balances of what it was like to maybe balance a much smaller paycheck and live accordingly. So you've had this whole kind of life before this new adventure.
Totally. And, anybody that's followed my career here on OnlyFans knows that 2.5 years ago at this time, actually 2 years ago at this time, I was still working as an insurance agent, making about $30,000 a year, struggling as a single mom, a solo parent, no other income coming in, thinking that I would have to work the rest of my life, multiple jobs to take care of myself and so I wouldn't be a burden. When OnlyFans presented itself, and I thought, after I thoroughly researched it and realized it wasn't a scam, it was real, that I started because I really thought so. And when I started, I thought, gosh, if I could even make a tenth of what I've seen some of these big MILF performers making, $100,000 a year, if I could make a tenth of that, that would be life-changing for me. Within 3 months, I was making a tenth of that, and then it's only gone up since then. So I've been very, very fortunate. I know some of the keys to my success are my attitude. It's the older woman thing, but it's also my attitude on aging. You know, one of the things that I've just started goes through my head is aging is a privilege. Aging is a privilege. Every day that I get to be on this planet, I get to watch my son get older. I get the opportunities to do different things and learn different things. You know, there's a lot of people that don't make it to 55. There's a lot of people that don't make it to 45.
It's so true. It's one of the things before my New Year's resolution of no longer trolling trolls. When guys would write to me, oh, you know, you're getting old, I would write back to them like, you know what? You'll be fortunate if you get to be this old because it is a gift. Before I lose sight on that, though, when Business Insider did the article on you, did they reach out to you? Did you sit down with someone and did that interview and that article get you other interest from other interviews?
It did. So they went through, they really wanted to see, they really wanted to vet my income that they were reporting on. That was a little, you know, unnerving because I'm a private person.
Of course.
But they wanted to see statements. They wanted to see more statements, more proof. Like they were not going to put it out there before they really verified I was making the kind of money that I was telling them. So they did that. It ended up on Yahoo News. It was a huge article. I was contacted by book editors that wanted to write my life story, which I don't think I'm ready for yet. I don't think I've arced on this storyline. But I also was contacted by like a daytime TV show. They kind of ghosted me though. I mean, to use the younger person's vernacular, they kind of ghosted me. And I think it was maybe they didn't realize how hot, spicy OnlyFans is. Obviously you come from this industry and, you know, they didn't say why. They just said, oh, we've had some A-listers that can come on and now we're full. But I kind of think that.
So how far in the scheduling process did you get before they realized? Because here's what happens in these rooms. It's like 10 people come up with ideas for interviews and for guests, and then like three of them get approved. So there were some people on board that were like, this is a great topic. It's very topical. You know, this is interesting. This is new. It sheds a different light on someone who's completely in control, all of it. But yet somebody up on top was like, no, we're not ready to do this.
That's what happened. And I mean, I've been around a long enough time. I come from consumer products sales, national sales. I know how these things work. I do know from one of the casting, the booking person, they said this came from either the host themselves or the executive producer, that they saw my article. And that's what happened. So it came from top level, but who also is in control? It's advertisers, and it's the studio, it's the people. So I had this feeling they really didn't know what they were getting into. And I kept saying, you know what OnlyFans is known for, right? I mean, you need to know this. But I had gotten through two interviews. They booked me a date. They said the next step is we're going to do two segments, one pre-recorded and one with you in the studio audience with the host. It was a very friendly host. I don't want to give too much information, but, it wasn't, you know, kind of an attack. It would have been a very warm, fuzzy, nice thing. And I was really looking forward to it. I went out, bought pantsuits, conservative pantsuits, you know,
sure.
And because I really, you know, it was really the thought of going on and being able to talk to primarily women and giving them that hope that their best days, the most exciting days of their lives, might be in front of them. It might be when they're 55. It might be when they're 60. Giving that hope, not that they're all going to be OnlyFans models, but that something might present them itself to them and give them a chance to have their most exciting and best, most productive days ahead of them.
And even if it's not even about working in the space or being a content creator, even if it's just being more sexual and more comfortable with themselves as a sexual being, I think so many women start to, you know, forget about that part of their life as they get older, and there's no reason to. And I think this really kind of brings you back into that. But what was the response from your fan base over the Business Insider article?
You know, they were excited. I think sometimes it's such an intimate, my fans are, they know me because I do like weekly little, they're video, they're pre-recorded, but I call them chat and flash. And they're used to just really kind of getting the essence of me. I always say this, that if women really want a man's attention, they want their attention. Take off your shirt and talk to that your said man. It's amazing. Their eyes don't, like, they don't glaze over. It's like a dog with a bone, you know, they're very attentive. So, but I do this every week where I talk about anything. I talk about the new movie I watch. I watch a documentary. Hey, I watched this, or gosh, I've gotten some weird messages, and I'll kind of talk about that. I'll say, this is what's coming up. I've filmed this. This is what I'm thinking about. Here's what I'm struggling with. You know, it's just a 10-minute blurb. It's kind of like a monologue for, a nighttime TV show where they just talk about what's going on.
Sure.
My guys love that. And because of that, I don't think sometimes they realize I'm as successful as I am, you know?
Right.
So I think they were really shocked and surprised at how successful I am, because I don't brag. I'm not somebody that brags about it.
Sure.
Yeah. So it was good. It was all positive.
There's a segment of them that almost wants to feel like a necessity to us, right? Like they're needed. They don't want to think that we've exceeded a success level where we don't need them. And that's an interesting kind of mindset. You know, I had two interactions over the past week where I was speaking with two different men at two different times that I know, that I've known for a long time, but it just so happened my book came up, and it was the first time they've asked me like detailed questions. And the first question they both asked me was if I had a ghostwriter. And I said, no, you know, I wrote both of my books myself. And they're like, well, who helped you? And so I realized like there's still something deep down inside that men have a little bit harder of a time, not all men, but some men have a harder of a time understanding when we've accomplished something that they didn't do first, that it's almost off-putting. All of my guy friends that have written books, you know, they know that I wrote my book myself. We've talked about it, but like, I never asked them. And so there's that, like, is she more successful than I thought? And that's why it's always kind of, you're insecure about talking about your money, right? Because that's putting a lot out there. And it was different when we were seeing articles where it was like, this girl's making millions of dollars. Like, that's just such a big number. Nobody's really crunching the numbers on it. But it's personal. And I can understand how when they asked for statements, you were a little guarded with that.
It's, you know, it's funny because obviously I get naked. But there's something about money, and I don't think this is gender, Lisa Ann. I think this is...
Oh, no, I think this is our generation. I think we were raised where you don't talk about politics, religion, or money outside of the home. Right. I mean, that's as simple as it was. It was like, if it was not talked about at our little kitchen table, it was not talked about. I never remember ever being at a family function or a friend getaway or a group activity or a picnic where politics ever came up when we were growing up or when people talked about how much money they made. I've noticed now, you know, that's a very normal thing. Like even on dating apps, my girlfriends are on them. So I like to look through profiles. I find it fun. Guys put how much money they make. Like some people put how much money they make on things like as a thing. And to us, it's like, oh, and I just think that's a product of the late 60s, early 70s, we just grew up where some things were a little bit more private.
Yeah, it's interesting. You bring that up, and there's just being in this line of work at this age. I mean, I'm not constantly. In the beginning, I was constantly Googling acronyms that I had never heard of before. I don't know what these terms are. And I'm looking them up and going, oh, was this a thing? When did this become a thing? When did, you know, even stuff like in the realm of the adult entertainment, the rough stuff, when did that become a thing? I missed that.
Yeah.
Because that's not part of how I operate. But I've noticed.
It's not my thing either.
Yeah. And I've noticed there's some performers that are very, very aggressive. And I personally know one of my friends that likes that kind of stuff. But
sure,
the amount
sure.
of, it's really, to me, again, I don't know if it's my age, but the choking, the rough.
Smacking,
right,
the spitting.
The smacking. And,
you know, here's what's interesting about how this happens. This all started before you were entering into this space. This all started as I was kind of making my final decisions about leaving the space. And then when OnlyFans came about, I thought something that was very fascinating was I would ask my guy friends, because a lot of my guy friends, they subscribe to a couple of their favorite girls. You know, they love the content. And I asked them about it. They're like, well, I feel better about subscribing to her page because I know that what she's putting up there, she wanted to do. Yeah. So even some people who watch content have watched things. Now you're speaking about, we're speaking about scenes getting a little rougher and it becoming the norm. It kind of is the norm. You've got to like have a talk before the scene, like don't do this, don't do this. It has become the norm only because I feel the business gets a little bit burned out with what they're doing and they think they got to up the ante and they don't realize the world doesn't need the ante up. They're not on set 5 days a week. They're not seeing this all the time. To them, where you're going is too much. And I thought it was fascinating because the timing was so perfect because OnlyFans built this new layer of kind of, you know, performer approved content. And when I hear my guy friends say, like, I just feel better about, so I never watch a scene that makes me stop and go, I don't know if that girl liked that. I don't know if that guy likes that. I don't know if this is a good thing. And they tell me that when they were, you know, watching before maybe tube sites or they were going to other sites, they would say there would be this moment where like you lose all interest in even finishing because their subconscious is now asking them questions. And so that's a fascinating element that OnlyFans has brought to the table is that people are still willing to pay for content and that so many people out there want to know that what they're watching is truly approved by the performer that they love.
So much so. And what I've always gotten as a solo performer, and we'll get into that, the changes that have been made, because, you know, 55 and why not? but is I do only do what I want to do. And, you know, part of it is my age. I'm not people pleasing anybody. I might have done more of that mentality at 25, but at 55, I'm like, no, I'm pleasing myself. So I have no interest in pushing boundaries like that I'm not willing to push. Like, certainly there are things that I've done that I've been intrigued by, but that's the difference. I've been intrigued by them. I wanted to do them. And maybe I've tried some.
And you know what? You might try something you're intrigued by and then afterwards be like, you know what? That's not for me. And that's okay. That's part of being on this path of curiosity. And especially when it comes to exploring yourself sexually in a safe place. I often tell people I was able to live out my fantasies in the industry because there were things that I wouldn't know how to speak to somebody in real life about doing and wouldn't want to do where I live or go to where they live. And it was almost like I have camp counselors on sex. I have my crew and I talk to my team and I'd be like, you know, I think I want to try this and do this, but I wouldn't have had the opportunity to do that at home.
No. And so safety is always a priority. It always has been. But now, especially as a mom, you know, my safety, there's nothing more important than my safety. That's, you know, it really, it's talked about a lot, but it's really true. And so that was one of the things when I've been asked, which I have for 2 years to collab, when are you going to do a real sex scene? When are you going to do a boy girl scene? You know, it was like, well, I'm single. So I don't know how that works because I don't have time to date and I have not dated since I started OnlyFans. I'm working.
Well, that was, wait, let's stop right there. I have my notes, what we want to get to. That was going to be, so I won't do a two part. I'll break this down. That was going to be kind of, I'm curious about this. One, back to the Business Insider article. Did you notice a difference? Did anybody in your inner circle that may or may not know what you do or people in where you live now know because you kind of pulled the curtain back? And how was that response? And did you feel different?
You know, it is interesting. Yahoo News picked up the Business Insider. And then I was also in Huffington Post later that month in February. They also picked up and put it on Yahoo News internationally. So nobody, I have a very small circle of friends. And a lot of that has to do with doing OnlyFans. My circle has gotten smaller. There are people that don't approve, even my family. They don't. It's very Midwestern-y. You don't talk about it.
I understand.
But you know that they don't approve because they never.
It's the elephant in the room.
Yeah, it's the elephant in the room.
It's the elephant in the room.
100%. So, but I never heard from like my family, but I did hear from two friends. They're like, my husband or, you know, like so-and-so just saw this. You were on Yahoo News and Business Insider. Yes. They knew about it though. So it was okay. So, you know, the feedback from I wasn't outed. Let's put it that way. Anybody that really, that knows my phone number, that cares about me knows what I do because that was one of those things I felt I needed to do. I didn't want to have that pressure. Same with my kiddo. Like, he doesn't know everything I do, but he knows what I do. He knows Elena St. James and what she does. And I mean, heck, my TikToks are cringy enough for him. He's a teenager. So he's, you know, he's just like, I'm not cool.
Does he block you? Did he block you?
No, he has told me because he has an Instagram account now. And he goes, do not like any of my stuff, mom. He goes, I don't want
you know that. But you know what? Even if you didn't do this, I think that would probably be a thing with a teenager, right? Especially a boy, because you know a boy would be like, you know, I don't want everybody like, because then you know people see, and then they could go and find you. You know, like I could see that. Like that's something new. Again, you and I are close in age. That's a conversation we didn't have to have. But I do remember the first year my brother was getting dropped off at like our junior high and my mom was driving and he told her, don't get outside of the car and give me a kiss. Like it was, and my mom was devastated. Yeah. And I remember like, he's a boy. Of course, he's getting to this age where he doesn't want his life out there. And you could see all the boys probably said the same because they were just getting out of the car. Whereas the year before, all the moms would get out, hug them, and then wave for a couple of minutes, right? So to add a layer to today's young person, this would be a thing. Don't like my post.
Right, don't like my post. I mean, he'll show them to me, or he'll say like,
that's so cute.
He was like, look at, I have like 1,000 likes. Or then he'll say, look at, somebody liked my post and they have more followers than you and I put together. And I'm like, dude, you have 68 followers. Like I do, you know, I know Instagram. Like I have like two accounts, one that's 333,000, one that's 200, whatever. And he goes, yeah, but look at this guy. And I'm like, okay, he has, your mom actually has more than that guy, but you know, okay. And he's just like, and then I went to like, and he's like, don't, you cannot. And then the other thing is he told me I can't post any pictures of our family pets. We have two cats and a dog because he doesn't want there to be any cross-referencing because he's going to be posting them. Yep.
He's smart. It's smart. It's a safety thing. He is so, you know, this generation is so self-aware of how things happen. And how creepy people are on the internet, and that they'll pair up this dog with this family photo and then find out where you live through your vet. You know, like you just don't know. He's being, you know, very cautious, which is great. But I'm glad to know that it didn't have, the Business Insider article didn't suffocate you in the area where you live, because people can become very judgmental. You're like me, you keep a small circle. So everybody else, whatever. I don't have to care what you think about me. But when it comes to dating, you haven't dated since you started your page. No. Is this because your concern is having to explain it, or meeting someone and they already know, and then you have kind of like, I'll give you an example. I met a guy a couple of weeks ago that my friend introduced me to. And afterwards he's like, so what'd you think about him? I'm like, he's super nice, but he's a little bit too much of a fan. You know what I mean? Like he was talking to me about a lot of people in the industry, and he was talking to me about me, and he was talking to me about things I've done. I was like, you know, my free time, like I can't be talking about Lisa Ann. And my friend was dying, but I said, it's something that you become very tuned into, right? People are going to know what we do, but can you make a different conversation with us? Because we obviously don't want to talk about work, just like most other people don't want to talk about work, especially when it's with someone new that you haven't built that real trust with yet.
There's a dynamic, Lisa Ann, that I thought was, I'm not a celebrity, but I have maybe a little skimpy micro celebrity. What that has taught me when I have tried to date is I had this realization, and I love this about this experience has made my mind expand, and I understand other people, and I have so much more empathy and understanding for other people. I understand why celebrities only date other celebrities. I understand why celebrities don't date, because there is a power dynamic when you have even a tiny bit of fame. There's a power dynamic. It's exactly what you said. I went on a dating app. I had two experiences that stand out. One, two guys were like, I follow you on Instagram. You do. And then the other thing is they think I'm catfishing. You and I both have a problem with trolls.
Oh,
or
ton of imposters. Yeah, yeah.
Scammers.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm constantly trying to counteract that because I've read some of your Twitters, and I'm like, yeah, same. Like I have the same thing. I almost wonder if when you're a micro celebrity that you have more, because it's more believable that I would be on dating sites. I don't know, but it's really, that's aggravating. I talked to a couple guys that seemed normal, and then they got too fanboy, and it was really uncomfortable. There was a man that was a professional, just somebody that I normally would have dated 3 years ago. I started talking to him. As soon as he found out what I did, it got very sexual very quickly. And that's not how I roll. It's never how I roll.
That's another thing that tends to happen. And it's like, okay, but wait, we're still going through the dating process as if, you know, you have to remove that layer, but that's their instant foot in. And then it's like coming in hot. And there's no turning back, okay?
No.
These are conversations that I would not be having by text with somebody that I don't know well. So these are these are kind of like, you know, there's a balancing act, right? And so when you're in the business, there's a compromise on so many other parts of your life. But at the same time, we're all living for this financial freedom that's going to allow us to do and live and be however we want to be. So to me, I've always been able to accept the trade-offs. But I think for someone who tends to not, like, I have a lot of friends, but I also like my own space. I always like to be on my own. I like to do my own thing. Some people don't like to be on their own, and that can be a sudden stop in their social life, and especially younger people, because when you're younger, you're just more sensitive.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very strange because I can talk about a lot of topics. I've lived a long life. I travel. I mean, my son and I went to London and Paris last summer, took the Channel. Have you ever taken the Channel?
Yeah,
crazy. And we're going to be going on a big 2-week vacation to Italy and Greece. I've been there before, but I'm going to hit some spots I haven't been before to let him explore. This is the kind of financial freedom that I do enjoy. I'm able to have these experiences and share them with the person that is most important to me. And also, you know, give us the opportunity. You mentioned, you know, sometimes it can be weird being in your hometown or in a town that you've been in for a long time. You know, at some point this year, we'll probably move down south. I think just for making content, being in a warmer climate than the Chicagoland area is a good thing. And having pools and beaches and things nearby.
Sure. But you have so many more settings to work with and so much better lighting because it's not gray for 6 months a year. You know, those little things make a huge difference when you're going to shoot something quickly. Being able to have natural light. When you think about going out to California, a lot of the stuff is shot with natural light and it does make a huge difference. So though you're not dating, you've actually been able to fill the void because you have finally, my friend, decided to do some boy-girl scenes.
I know.
And I am so proud of you. It's a great one. I used to tell my friends, like, oh, when I was shooting all the time, I was like, look, I don't have to worry about anything. I've already had sex by 2 p.m. The rest of my day is fine. Okay, I don't have to worry about anything. So you worked so far with Lucas Frost and Ryan Driller, both really incredible human beings. I like them both so much. Ryan is an awesome guy that I got to know really well in the industry. And Lucas was just coming in as I was leaving. Also a really, really nice guy. They're professionals. So you brought them to you so that you could work with them for your page. Did you guys share content or did you buy it exclusively?
Well, so this is kind of news. I'm making news as far as my fans know that I shot with Lucas. We did a wide screen. I'm going to do a POV release soon. But Ryan, I just filmed with. So this is news. This is breaking news on the Lisa Ann podcast that I just worked with him, and mostly it's going to be my content. There's one scene that we're going to share that we actually used two video takes with, and it'll kind of be he said, she said. You know, one will be his, and then
Very
people
cool.
do a little picture in picture, but they'll be from different angles. So it was really cool, but yeah, they both are professionals. Obviously, Ryan's been in the business longer, and I first shot with Lucas. I had seen Ryan. Our schedules didn't match up, so that's why he was number two. But, I mean, you know, I wanted to be with a professional because I had asked an old boyfriend to film with me, and he was nervous. He was so nervous. This is what people don't understand, and it was about a 9-month that I was looking into this and trying to figure this out. What men don't understand, my fans, many volunteers, what men don't understand is it's not easy. It's not easy to be a male adult actor. It's not easy.
There are so many factors,
not just what the universe has given you, how you...
Every guy that offers couldn't last more than a minute. So you'd have no content, okay?
Right.
If they could even deal with how quiet it is in the room when you're actually shooting because you can't have any noise or music. Like, there's so many variables. Also, the great performers, I always looked at it as like a dance, right? So, you know, you're going through this flow of this dance in this 20 to 30 minutes, however long you want the actual scene to be. And there's no awkward, you know, switching, you're moving into the next position. And when you're with a professional, it just flows into this beautiful piece of art. And so for a guy that thinks he even knows all of those positions or that he can stand on one leg and balance you with the other, because the guy does a lot of work when it comes to holding you up, opening you to the camera, making you look beautiful. It's not really as much of a focus on them having pleasure as it is them accomplishing the mission of putting together a beautiful scene.
It's so true. And there were a couple things. So I had actually watched your interview with Ryan. I had watched Miss Holly Randall, who's fabulous, and I had watched her two interviews. She had interviewed both Lucas and Ryan. And one of the things, so for me, yes, it was the look of a guy. And so I started looking at professionals. And I started, really, it was shopping. You know, I thought, who would I be comfortable with? I need to be attracted to them. I've never done this before. But mostly I need to feel like they'd take care of me and that I'd be okay and I'd be safe. That was it. You know, also just health-wise, diseases, that sort of thing. Somebody that takes that really, really seriously. Sure. I was putting myself out there, being very vulnerable. One of the things that I saw on the interview with Lucas Frost, he was talking to Holly and she said something. And, you know, as an older person, over 50, you watch many things. I watch scenes and I watch the woman's face and I watch her energy and I see, does she feel safe? Does she feel scared? Anyway, you read the energy of the partner. So I would watch those. But in this interview, she threw out, which could have been a baited question, what happens if you're not attracted to your partner, your scene partner? What if you don't like them? And you could see his wheels turning and he was like, I find something that I like about them. They have a nice
and that's what the best male performers say. Guys have told me it could even be something as simple as the freckles on her cheeks. Like they will find something. And that is a true gift and a talent. And you also picked two men. I always like to work with men that were really fit. And it wasn't just because about their body. It was because I knew if they were making time for the gym and they were taking care of their body like that, then they also really didn't drink or do drugs.
Yes. That is very important too. That's very important. I mean, the fitness was a little, I have a mom bod. It was a little intimidating. I mean, especially Lucas is like,
he's super shredded.
He's just shredded. I mean, you know, but I mean, I am a woman, so it's not bad when they can kind of toss you around a little bit, even being 5'10" and a mom bod. Yes. You know, it's like, my goodness, I weigh nothing. A lot. Yeah. But that's fabulous. And they were both lovely. And they were gentlemen. You know, Lucas.
Can we walk through the first time, which was with Lucas Frost? What were you thinking the night before? And how did you feel the morning of?
Okay. So, you know, it was weird. And I thought, okay, I just have to do it. I mean, I've done so many things in my life. That's the difference. I have been in situations not like this, but like this. You know, I've done a lot of things. I've traveled overseas many times by myself. I'm capable of just got to do it. I can't think about the nerves. I have to do it. He was very much a gentleman. He let me kind of run it. He would say things like, this is not about me. This is about you. You tell me. I'm adaptable. I'm flexible. And I'm just like, okay, you know, but I have to say it. So he was lovely and wonderful. And it was nerve wracking because I'm used to, here's the thing too, for your listeners, I'm used to a dynamic where the man is pursuing me in some way. You know, maybe we both like each other. I've never been in where it's like, hi, this is a professional situation and we're going to do it. You know, it's just such a weird thing because usually there's a pursuant thing and there was no pursuant.
Well, there's a little courting. Yes. There's a little getting to know something about somebody, even simple as, you know, their hobbies, their birthday, where they're from. And this is a very black and white situation. It's, I can remember it, you know, you show up, you know what you're going to do, you know, as the female performer, a lot of times you're in the makeup chair, you're doing pretty girls when they arrive. So you're already working, they come in. And for you not being out West and not going to events where you meet all of these performers, it really was your first time meeting them. And I always found that was something I avoided. I had to meet people and I don't know if you guys FaceTimed did anything to, okay.
I had never spoken to him on the phone, you know, cause he's 30 something. So he's a young guy. And I think they're just used to, you know, this texting and email, mostly texting. Yeah, it was really weird because I was like, okay, so I mean, literally it was like, we had dinner, we had a drink, we had dinner. And then I was like, okay, so I think back on this and how awkward, but people can relate because if you haven't done this, I'm just like, so do I guess I just take off my clothes. And I went down into my
bra. And also underwear. It's a different setting. You're not on set with a director and a crew telling you what to do. There's no one saying to you, okay, this is what happens next. This is what happens next. You know, no. So there's none of that. But
and I was directing.
I love that you finally did it.
Yeah.
Because now this can fill the void and you're going to find yourself in a space where you don't really need a date right now. No. And that's totally okay. And if somebody crosses your path, great. But it's one less interaction that you have to be heightened on your security for, right?
Right. These
are both the performers in the industry. All look out for each other.
Yeah, both these guys were great. And I will say the weird thing, so I spent time with Luke, I spent time with Ryan, and just as people, you know, I was more comfortable with them at near the end. You know, would I film with them again? Yeah, both of them. They're wonderful. And we got along. I mean, one of the things that my fans have responded to the video since I released it is how much I was enjoying it and I was giggling. And they were like, we love that you weren't acting, that this was, you were clearly enjoying it. Obviously, nobody has seen the stuff with Ryan, but my God, I laughed so much. It was pretty funny, but we both laughed because he's silly. He has a real silly side and he has a real, you know, expressive face. And so there were, even when we were trying to take pictures and stuff, we would both just start laughing at the absurdity of whatever. It was really fun. And that's what my fans love. I've gotten so much feedback from the first scene with Lucas. They're like, one guy just today wrote something. He goes, you made my heart sing. I watched it a second time. My heart sang. Your giggles, how sexy it was, but yet your giggles and your expression, you obviously were having a great time and it was so authentic. Like the authenticity and genuineness shines through.
And also, you know, this had to be a next step in the move of just feeling so empowered by deciding to take this walk in life for however long you want to stay here. This is something where it's not time sensitive and there's no rules and regulations. You stay as long as you want, you leave when you want. But the fact that you've challenged yourself at this age, Elena, to try something completely different, which has made you not only open up a part of yourself sexually, the Pandora's box, but also become more tech savvy and learn how to use these platforms properly and do all of the different things you can do with your content, manage your content and properly, you know, labeling, saving, all of these things. You've taken this and now you have another layer to this positive, just whole reinforcement on your age, trying something new and financial freedom. That is the goal.
It's freedom. It is freedom. I just, totally different, but I just read a book about Marjorie Meriwether Post. Back in that, she was the daughter of she was an heiress, right? She was married four times. I'm reading this book, fictional history book, and she left each of her husbands. She kind of was like, you know, and then it was over. And I thought, this was in early 1900s through like 1960s. She made that decision, but why could she do that? Why could she do that and other women of her generation couldn't? She had money. She could choose. This isn't working for me anymore. This is making me miserable. I'm going to leave. This, we're splitting. That's the difference. Financial money to me has always been freedom. It's freedom of choice. I choose what I do, where I live, how I live, who is in my life. It's choice. It's not, for me, it's never been about handbags, things that I own. It's about freedom of thinking that I can stop doing this at some point and do something else or do nothing. That's true freedom.
Living the life and feeling like if there's an emergency, you can handle it, right? Oh. Feeling, you know, there's something to be said for carrying no debt, you know, and this is something that I think the industry doesn't get enough credit for, is what it does provide in that space. Then to see someone, your age come in and thrive and also be tapping into, you know, I think it's just so great because I was fortunate to have this as such a big part of my young life to now, you know, and now I'm meeting more and more people at different ages. I mean, when I got in, you would never have the opportunity that is now because we have these content creator platforms and we have different genres, but it's just been fascinating watching you. And when I saw that article on you and Business Insider, I was like, you go girl. And I'm just loving all of it. I know your fans are going to love this as well. You have two Instagrams. Which ones would you like to give out here?
Well, my first one, my OG is Elaina St. James. That's it. E-L-A-I-N-A St. James. And then I have an Elaina St. James XO. For whatever reason, that has taken off. I think I had a bunch of reels that went crazy in November with these cheap satin floral robes, 20 million, 25 million views. It was crazy. And
amazing.
That's what did it.
I love everything you're about, and I'm so happy to hear you're peeling off the layers, and I look forward to catching up with you again. Thank you so much for joining me here today, Elaina.
Thank you.
It was great to check in with Elaina. Get to catch up a bit, share her story with you, which I find to be so empowering and so incredible. And I love to remind everyone that everyone gets to make their own choices and do their own thing and live their life their way. And that was what Elaina is doing later in life. And it's just really fun for me to get to see so many people jumping into the world that was so much of my existence later in life and having this incredible value for the freedom, for the financial independence, and for just their creating of their own new identity. It's been super cool for me to witness. And also cool to witness is how much great feedback I'm getting on Ultra Farm RX. Ever feel like your performance just doesn't measure up? Does worrying about it make it worse? Let me let you in on a little secret. Many men use Viagra and Cialis not just to treat ED, but to boost their performance and last longer. Whether you're in front of the camera or behind closed doors, every man can use a little help to last longer. It's never been simpler to get what you need. At ultrafarmrx.com, you can get doctor-trusted treatments 100% confidential online from your phone. No awkward doctor visits, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, discreet and confidential, guaranteed. Better performance is just a few clicks away at ultrafarmrx.com. Go to ultrafarmrx.com/Lisa. Sign up today. A licensed physician will get back to you after you complete your 2-minute survey. And if you are a candidate for Ultra Farm RX, your package will be delivered to you discreetly. So check it out and tell them I sent you. We know what you all been waiting for right here. We had a guest. I caught up with you as much as my brain would allow. I know I'm missing a lot. And I have a Facebook Live today, so I will for sure spew out things that I forgot to tell you. But every Wednesday at 1 p.m., I do a Facebook Live. Facebook is also The Real Lisa Ann. And it's normally when we chop it up about the new episode of my podcast, what I'm going to be talking about on my Wednesday night show on Better Sports Network. But today we will not be talking about the podcast because it's going to be after this. But we do have a mailbag and I appreciate all of your emails. If you want to be a part of the mailbag, you can email me at asklisaann@gmail.com. Here we go with the mailbag. We know we like to have a couple little wild ones, maybe at the beginning. It kind of works out, right? And here we are with Danny. Lisa, I'm a huge fan, especially with you being from the area. I'm from Philly myself. Was wondering if you do any fan meets or anything. Fan meets seems to be a new term that I've just kind of uncovered, and it's not something I do. So I know where Danny is going with this, but here's how I'm going to flip the script. I'm going to remind everyone, I don't meet up with fans individually. Of course, you can understand I'm a busy woman between writing 2 books. I have wine coming out this year. I have my social media managed. I have my show on Better Sports Network. I have podcasts. There's a lot of things that I do. And when I have time to meet up with anyone one-on-one, it's always my friends, because my friends are my family. They mean everything to me. So though I don't meet fans individually for meets, which is, again, a new term, I'm just realizing what it means, I do meet fans at events. And my event schedule this year is super fun. June 9th through 12th, I will be in Athens, Greece at the Erotic Art Festival. Miami, Exotica, July 14th through 16th. New Jersey, Exotica, November 3rd through 5th. And DC, Exotica, December 1st through 3rd. So Danny, I hope you're a listener to the podcast. And I hope you know that if you are from Philly, the New Jersey show is close to you. You can take the train. There's so many options. But the only way to get to meet me is to go to a public event where I do photos with everyone, autographs, all of that stuff. So there's your opportunity. All right. We've got a question about dating. Badra says, hello, Lisa Ann. I just want to ask you about dating. But before question, happy birthday to you. I have a gift for you. Still a surprise for now until you accept the gift. I will tell you about it, so let's get to the point. I don't know really about what that means, but I don't accept gifts. Anybody who wants to get me anything for any holiday, I ask that you just make a donation to blessingsinabackpack.org in my name. That's really all I want. There's always someone that could use something more than me, and I don't take mail from fans anymore. I don't take gifts from fans anymore. I've just asked for donations, and it's a much better way to go. Here's the point. As I said, how could I make a date with a girl and chat with her? I need your experience about this question, and thank you. Well, I think you got to start slow. Start building up your relationship with your friendships and go out and do more things. It's easier in a group setting to start making casual conversation. If you know, I'm noticing a lot of younger men are coming to me with these style emails and are at like this impasse, right? Where they don't really know how to get the first conversation going. I blame a lot of that on the internet. Spending too much time in front of a screen is affecting like the social aspect of growth. So the most important thing you can do, Badra, to start is get away from your computer, get outside, make small talk as you casually see people, whether it's at a coffee shop or what have you. Get out with your friends, meet new people. The girl thing is going to come in time, but it can't be the only reason you're going out. You have to make it an organic process. Enjoy it. And I wish you a ton of luck with it. Jay says, first off, LA, happy 51st birthday. 72 baby myself. August is mine. If hypothetically you were exiled on an island for life and granted the music of only 3 bands, what would your 3 bands be? Mine are U2, Led Zeppelin, and the Beatles. Cheers. Stay sexy. Sincerely, JJ in Canada. Also, heard joke mailbag gonna chime in. Who puts the thin ice sign on thin ice? That is a great joke. Who does? If it says thin ice, then nobody should be going out there to put a sign on it. JJ, that's brilliant. So I thought about this. I would want music from 3 completely different genres. I'm on an island. I'm exiled. I have 3 bands I'm allowed to choose. So this will give me my range. So I want to have something hip hop, something like casual daytime, and something like hard to like run to and like, you know. So I chose my 3. Biggie. So I would be listening to him. Biggie would be my straight up hip hop. Rage Against the Machine would be like my get me going. I want to run around the island. I want to get my exercise. I want to work out. I'm like to have like coconuts and stuff to lift weights with, hypothetically. And Sublime. I still listen to Sublime a lot. Sublime reminds me of when I first moved to California. Sublime was like still a smaller band. They were playing at all these different like backyard things, barbecues. Gwen Stefani was the backup dancer. And we'd like be chilling in a backyard in Long Beach, just listening to Sublime. And it just takes me back to a place where I was just feeling my most free and excited about the cross-country move I'd made from Easton, Pennsylvania to California, the weather, all the things, the casual just sitting in the backyard hearing Sublime, all the things that remind me of that fun era. So Biggie, Rage Against the Machine, and Sublime are my 3. JJ, do not put the thin ice sign on thin ice. Steven says, "Dear Lisa, I'm a huge fan. Two questions. Boston Celtics go all the way." Steven, I know when you wrote this email, the Celtics were looking a lot better. I don't know what is happening. Where is the identity of this team? This is a team that, like, look, the Denver Nuggets were the number one standing in the West for the entire season. And guess what? They're showing why in this series against the Suns. The Celtics are doing the opposite. Did they play so well all season? And now they just can't seem to guard Embiid. They can't seem to slow down the tempo of Philly. So if you are a Celtics fan, I don't know what's going to happen. I love these series tied up. It's such an exciting time. It's also the time of the year where you realize the NBA season is almost ending, which is why I'm going to be doing a month of best balls for the whole month of June on Fantrax. The second question is, can you ever see yourself coming to Nova Scotia, Canada for a tour or book promo? I don't really get that many events in Canada. It's really a tough thing with visa and working papers. It's also a tough thing with shipping product and going, but I might do the comedy festival in Montreal. But just follow me on my social media at The Real Lisa Ann, and you'll always know where I'm going to be and when. James says, "Hi, Lisa. I'd like to wish you a happy birthday. I hope that you have a very nice birthday. And yes, you are still a very beautiful looking lady. I had the pleasure of meeting you one time when you came to Philadelphia." That was so nice. I just thought I'd just read a nice email. One more email here for the mailbag. Jeff says, "I have two questions for you. You may have covered this at some point. If you have, I apologize for the repeat question. If you had the chance to have one last conversation with anyone who has since passed and are no longer with us, who would your three people be?" You know, I thought about celebrities, Jeff. You know, I always think about Frank Sinatra. It would be such an interesting conversation. But then I thought, no, I would like to see three people again for a conversation. Number one, most people that know me would know it'd be Peggy. Just to have another conversation, just to sit on her patio and drink lemonade with her, if that's an option in this conversation. The second person would be my grandfather. My pa, who I still feel his presence a lot of times in my life. He was just so great. He had such a great sense of humor. He was so fun to be around. He taught me how to use a toolbox. Like, he just really wanted me to be a strong woman, and he did a great job at that. So my grandfather. The third one would be my nani. My nani was my dad's mom. Nani is a, how you call her, nani or nana. And she never drove. We would walk with her to the grocery store. She was an incredible woman. She saw so much. And I realized that I was too young to really ask her all the questions about, like, what was it like coming here from Italy to the US? You know, how hard was it to learn English? Like, all of the things that I just took for granted because, you know, Italian was her first language. She spoke beautiful, broken English. But those would be my three people, Peggy, my pa, and my nana. Okay, the last question here is, also, do you feel like you're in the best shape that you've been in your life? Thank you, Jeff. I asked this question because everyone who's seen our picture from Exotica has commented how fit and amazing you look in those pictures. Thanks for taking the time for reading these. It was great to see you in Chicago. I am not in the best shape of my life. That was 2016, 2017, because the only thing I did for a year was go to the gym, and that was the only thing, but I'm getting back there. So what I did was I went back to that workout regimen where I'm lifting a lot heavier weights. The only way I can do that is by going back to cryo, because cryo keeps me from being sore, gives me that energy, and then I'm able to know that, okay, you can lift really heavy. Because when you lift heavy, it cuts you, you get cut a lot more and a lot faster, but it also makes you a lot more tired. So when I do a heavy lifting weight workout in the morning, by like 3, I seriously need a nap. So the cryo has really added to it. I appreciate the compliment from you and your people. I will check in when I feel I'm back there. I would say I'm like 60% there. I have 40 more percent work to go, and I'm not going to quit. So I appreciate that, as I appreciate all of you. I love the mailbag, so please be a part of it. AskLisaAnn@gmail.com. I want to thank Elena St. James for joining the show. Give her a follow at Elena St. James. Go and follow Ticket Rev. Go and follow Fantrax. Go and follow Ultra Farm RX. We've got so much good stuff going on. This summer of best ball is going to be a ton of fun, and I cannot wait till you're a part of it with me. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. And that is it. Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, YouTube live premiere of this episode. You get to watch the video component. You can always learn more about me through my writing. I've released two books, The Life and The Life Back. They're both available at my store, shoplisaann.com, where they will arrive personally autographed, or you can get them from Amazon. Thank you for listening to an all-new episode of the Lisa Ann Experience.